It is now time for the financial report with our man Craig Ferrantino, certified wealth strategist extraordinaire, president of the Craig James Financial Services, right in the heart of Melville. Go to the great website we've been telling you about, longislandinvestmentadvisors.com. Craig Ferrantino, a registered representative, offering securities and advisory services all through United Planets Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC, Craig James Financial Services, LLC, and United Planners, not affiliated. The aforementioned Mr. Ferrantino, another good day there. You have kind of switched markets bear to bull, even though futures is down a little bit here. Well, not a little bit. I think it's down 500 plus points now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jay. How are you? Yeah,
I am
what an
okay.
Exciting week. I can't tell you how exciting this week has been. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed at 22,552, up 1353. That's a percentage change of 6.38%. If it hit 7%, it would have stopped trading. So it just hit under the stops there. It closed under the stops. The S&P 500 index was up 6.24% for 2630. And the Dow Jones Utility Average and all showing positive. Transportation index, semiconductors did very, very well. Gold, continuous contract, 1624. We're still holding that $1,600 on gold. The 10-year treasury is 8.11, so the CBOE. Now, I wanted to let you know that it's the best 3 days since 1933. I'll repeat that. The best 3 days in the market since 1933. People like to use, if you're positive, they have negative, saying worst day since the Depression. Best three-day rally since 1933. There you go. I wasn't around in 1933. I don't think you were, Jay, but that's pretty impressive. You know, it has to do with a lot of things, but a lot of, again, has to do with this stimulus bill. It is getting out of, it got out of the Senate last night, as you know, and it's on its way to the House. I don't know what good could come of that, but let's see what happens here. And then the president would have to sign it at some point. I think that the Congress has to be back in session. I don't know if everybody's there. And so let's see how long it takes for them to get this back in session for a relief bill. And some things happen. You know, it's very, very important that the president wants to open the country up. As the economy continues to strain under the pandemic, case in point, General Motors on Thursday told its 69,000 workers that they were getting temporary 20% pay cuts. That could be a little scary. That's people with less money and that, you know, less spending affects our economy. So they're going to be going on a county-by-county basis, which I thought was very interesting as opposed to just doing a blanket. Nobody goes back to work for the whole United States. They're actually going to look at it, not just state by state, but county by county. And I thought it was very, very important to figure out who's a low-risk county, medium-risk county, and a high-risk county. And then at that point, someone's going to make the decision. So this is a way out of where we are. And it seems logical and methodical. I'm sure there's plenty of critics about no matter what anybody does here. But short of having just everybody stay home for the next few months, this just seems to be one of the better solutions. So I think the markets are reacting to that. They're reacting to a few things here this morning with the futures going down. I don't know how much a stimulus package is baked into the futures. I think futures, my thought was that they're not, people aren't crazy about the stimulus package, but nonetheless, we'll let it sit, see what happens to that. It should at least prop up the economy for a period of time, and then it will we'll all be in better shape come a month or two from now.
Well, I'll tell you, first off, there will be a vote today as far as the House is concerned, and for those who cannot be there, from what I read, you know, lawmakers who might be stuck out of town, indoors, they can participate remotely. You know, it kind of dawned on me, why couldn't they do this yesterday? You know, with right now, the tensions and the pressure and everything else is not of prime importance. right now in the country, or did we have to throw in a couple of extra things like the refurbishing of the Kennedy Arts Center for $25 million? Do we have to put little caveats in there to make sure everything was nice in place for Ms. Pelosi over there? I mean, it's unbelievable. Why couldn't they do this yesterday, this package? It's just beyond comprehension at this point in time, but it will be signed off today, sir. Will be signed off today, and the president will sign it rightly thereafter, and we'll be good to go and expect the relief. I call it a rescue package. It is a rescue package because right now people are almost dead in the water, and the fact of the matter is they need this money, stimulus, whatever you want to call it. I call it a rescue, but hopefully that'll be in play today. Now, one thing about the markets, Craig, you're down 546 as we speak as far as futures. So maybe there's something within that rescue package that many don't like.
Yes, that's right. Well, I think it's, you know, some of the things we've been talking about all week, just, you know, giving employers the incentive. The biggest rub for me is giving employers the incentive to lay people off for a few months while this thing blows over and then rehire them back. So they're on my dime or the business owner's dime. And the business owner, it makes it very easy to tell people, yeah, we're going to furlough a lot of people. This could even happen in school districts and other things that we're used to on a day-to-day basis, because it would be a lot easier for them to have the government pay the next 3 months of salaries than the municipality, than the school district, than the maintenance workers, than the, all sorts of people can be, if school's not in session, if people aren't supposed to be going to work, if the governor's mandate that you work, so picking up that bill. If the governor mandates that you're not going to work, you know, here's a proposal. How about the governor mandates you can't go to work for 4 weeks, but the federal government says, well, we're opening up, you know, certain places in 2 weeks. Will the governor, instead of the federal government, you know, support the salaries for those extra 2 weeks that the governor is asking you to stay home? Because we do pay state taxes as well. I haven't seen the states come up with any money for this virus, for this crisis. It's all about the federal government. And to me, that's I just think that it's not sitting well with people. It's not sitting well with me. I want to keep employers and I want to keep my employees employed. I don't want to go on the unemployment line. And I think that this just gives everybody an incentive. So you're going to see huge, huge, huge unemployment numbers. It's very easy to do that. Don't worry. You could lay your people off. We'll pick up the bill. Now, 3 months from now, I don't know what guarantees people have to get their jobs back. That just screws everybody up. So 3 months from now could be, we're in June, July at this point, not necessarily the hot hiring season for the year is not July. So let's figure this out here. I think it's the market's digesting some of this, and sometimes the cure could be worse than the problem. And I think at $2 trillion, and also they left the door open for more stimulus. I mean, we got to realize this is, folks, this is a $2.2, from what I can read, $1 trillion. I haven't read the bill. The only problem here is that you have people who are giving you their talking points because the bill isn't out there yet. So I now have to rely on people, meaning reporters, to tell me what's in the bill. And, you know, depending on who you talk to, this is where it gets very, very nefarious is a good word. So that could affect the markets. The markets want some sort of certainty. And they also want people, you know, the markets work on people being employed. We don't have a model on how a stock is priced when they only have a third of their employees. And well, it's good for the economy because they're getting paid. But, well, what is it good for the stock? What is it good for the company? You know, that's what I'm trying to say from a business perspective, not from a political perspective. It lends a lot of problems. We're in new territory here. And we have an $18 trillion economy, give or take $1 trillion a year. We're injecting $2.2 trillion into that. Well, you know, geez, it's almost one-sixth. That's a good amount of – I mean, that's a huge bill for somebody that's going to be out for 3 or 4 weeks. I don't think that's I think that's a little too much. So there is a lot of fat in here, and I don't think the streets are digesting it very well. We'll see, though. You know, we'll just see other people reacting, and let's see what the House passes. And the president still has to sign it. and maybe he can make some, you know, there's always the hope that, okay, you know, I don't mind spending money on these hospitals for taxpayer dollars and this and that. I don't mind, you know, shoring up for this pandemic or other future pandemics. It should have been done, you know, to some extent at the state level years ago, as well as at the federal level. So that, I could understand. But it's all the other stuff.
So, again, and a final thought on my end, I know the governor's complaining about the $3.8 billion and the $1.7 billion heading to de Blasio in the city. You know, I mean, Chuck Schumer did sign it out as $40 billion in all. You know, come on. I mean, the one thing I don't want to see here is being political on any front, and I don't like it at all when it's, you know, the back and forth again. You know, they're not doing the right thing. Federal. I don't want to hear that about the federal government not doing. Federal government is doing everything they can. New York gets more money than any other state in the union. I mean, come on, enough is enough. You got hospitals being built. You have a 1,000-bed ship coming into New York Harbor there. You got left and right. You have the Javits Center conversion. I mean, my goodness, you got equipment galore and everything else. It's a tough problem for all
enough.
Right now.
It's
the one
enough.
Thing I don't want to hear about is being. Is politicizing this on many an end yesterday. I don't want to hear it.
The MTA was looking for a $4 billion bailout the same week. And I'm like, geez, so just take the $4 billion that they're giving New York. Just give it to the MTA, but then what do you do with anything else? Everybody's got their hands up. That's the problem. And that when there's money around, things get very, very funny. As you know, in families, we know that in financial advising and when there's money around, people get very, very funny. You know, the governor's has been getting some good marks and how he's handling the crisis. I would just say that, you know, someone's going to ask, why is it that New York became the epicenter? Someone's going to ask that question somewhere along the line. And what policies, what public health policies led to this?
Greg, it's the epicenter because of the density. You know that. I mean, it's no surprise. There's 28,000 people per square mile. The next city with that amount of people is San Francisco. At 17,000 per square mile. So, listen, we get why the city is the way it is. It's a density problem. We know that. But quite frankly, we all got to work together here. We can't be bickering about we don't have enough money and this and that. And the ventilator. Listen, I understand it, but we got to work together on this. Listen, a pleasure. Let's see what today brings. You have a healthy and a good one this weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.
Thank you, Jay. Have a good weekend. Let's hope it's a good weekend and a good day today. Bye-bye.